The Around the NFL Podcast has no takeaways.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
We have no takeaways. That means I can take the earpiece off and go back to my house.
Nothing to contraire. Say. It couldn't be more wrong.
We have, like, what, 45 takeaways or something on the website right now?
That's, so we lied.
14 games times 3. That's 42 good takeaways.
Bang. 42 takeaways. That's our big, I would call that our flagship piece on Sundays. If you're looking for just like a quick stop, everything that happened on Sunday, every game we have covered with 3 hot takes. It's a pejorative term, you know. It's more like 3 insights on the game that was.
How about a vanity URL for that kind of a piece?
That's true. Maybe NFL.com hashtag hot takeaways. Maybe.
High octane.
That's not how the internet
high
works.
High octane takeaways.
If I could, you know, be amorous with a article, if that was somehow possible, like if I could get down with an article, you
make
know what
love.
I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. This would be the article I would do it with.
You really love its peaches, want to shake its tree?
That's a way to put it.
So, yes, that you could read all that stuff. It got weird real quick on today's show. You could read all that stuff on the NFL.com, around the NFL page. But here at the Around the NFL podcast, we're going to go game by game through all of Sunday's action. And there was a lot of good games to get to. I believe, Greg, there were 14 games on the schedule.
Where did you get that info?
Well, there are 14 games today, one Thursday, one Monday, 32 teams. 16 games a week, no buys yet.
Nicely deduced.
And they say he's not a scientist.
Yes. Still to come, by the way. We got a lot to get to, a lot coming up today. We have the Packers-Seahawks recap, the big Sunday night football rematch, which, yes, of course, is a rematch of the NFC title game. And, you know, a little spoiler alert, revenge was in the air. Also, we're going to get to, we'll head over to Orchard Park where the Bills and the Patriots, a big AFC East showdown, and we'll see how Rex Ryan is feeling after his second game of the year. And then our old friend, Colleen Wolf, checks in. The Wolf woman will step in and jump in and cover some games with us. Yes, Colleen, of course, of NFL Network.
And NFL Now.
And NFL Now. And
Connie Fox.
All sorts of things.
Yes. And also, you want to check out the Around the NFL TV show. I call it Around the NFL, call them the TV show, which is on all week at 6 p.m. Eastern, except for Greg on Thursdays when it is on
you gotta 2 watch p.m. out for Eastern. That. You got to watch out for that on Thursdays. But they give you, Andrew Siciliano comes up with a big extra long show.
So. Yeah, so that's all. That's everything that's coming up. That's everything that's ahead. I'm excited. Wes, are you excited?
I can't even contain myself.
Navy blue polo with Wes. That means he's feeling a little blue. What's wrong,
Wes? I like
Wes?
This kind of body.
All of my shirts are blue.
Wes, super low energy right now. Is everything okay?
Everything's fine.
Okay, good. Oh, good. So that's what's going on. But before we get to the Sunday night football game, let's first share, as we did a week ago, one big takeaway from the day that was in the NFL on Sunday. Mark Sessler, we'll start with you.
I had the pleasure of watching the 49ers attempt to do battle with the Steelers, and they did not do well. Our potential team of ATL, not one in my book. They got bomb dropped 43-18. They got whacked. That's not what a team of ATL does. They didn't. Their defense that attacked last week had nothing going on. Pittsburgh outshined.
49ers are out.
All right, Wes. Big takeaway.
The NFC East is wide open.
Prairie land.
It's an open prairie land. The Cowboys are in first place, but they've lost their 2 most valuable players in back-to-back weeks, Dez Bryant, Tony Killer. Romo. How is Brandon Whedon going to move this offense? I don't believe it. The Redskins are looking kind of frisky right now.
You're buying in on the Redskins.
I'm not buying in on any NFC East team right now.
All right, my takeaway, Aaron Rodgers is a superhero. You take away Jordy Nelson, no problem. Eddie Lacy gets carted off. Who cares? If you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers, you're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I guarantee it.
Wow. That is a hot takeaway. I love it.
I guarantee it. Just watch.
Ooh. My hot takeaway is that the Saints are in deep trouble. Of all the games today, them hosting the Bucks look like maybe the biggest slam dunk among them. For them to lose at home to Tampa Bay raises serious questions, I think, about where this team is going, you know, this season and in the future.
All right. Very good. Those are good hot takes, guys. Let's now cycle back to the Packers and talk about the game that was the Sunday night game, the final game of the Sunday. Aaron Rodgers threw for 249 yards and two touchdowns. James Starks rushed for 95 yards in the place of an injured Eddie Lacy, leading the Packers to a 27-17 win over the Seahawks. Greg, the Packers 2-0, the Seahawks 0-2. This is not how we thought the season would start.
It wasn't. It's not for the Seahawks. It basically is for the Packers. This was a game that I think was more important to them because the Seahawks are coming into their building. They're, you know, Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and I couldn't help but think of Chris Wessling invoking, you know, mid-career MJ at his peak. You know, when he was talking about Aaron Rodgers last week.
I think about Wes a lot as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I think about him
a lot.
All the time.
I'm honored.
How could you not in that blue polo? I mean, just the throws he's making across his body in the first quarter when, you know, the Seahawks were outside, just over a couple defenders' heads to James Jones. That's the type of stuff peak MJ does.
And yeah, and the comparison was about interrogating limits. Just you need a creative outlet because you've gotten so good, you're trying new things, and that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing.
And it's, you know, 1,022 days since he's thrown a pick in Lambeau. Wow. And part of being a good team is, you know, the Seahawks do this in Seattle, Green Bay does it at Lambeau, dominating on your home field. That's exactly what they do.
545 passes over that span too.
In the Seahawks 43 touchdowns. In a between a rock and a hard place. They never sent any blitzes because they just were worried about how that's going to expose them in the back end. So they just let Rodgers kind of pick them apart. And his footwork on the touchdown in the first quarter and then in the fourth quarter where he just steps up in the pocket and just sidesteps it. It's so subtle how he does it. No other quarterback can do it like he can and then just rifle it into the corner for a touchdown. He's just on another level right now.
And I don't know about you guys, but I think the concern over Seattle's offense, it's not burning up, but Jimmy Graham, your whole point was you're going to go out and find a red zone threat and someone that can change the way that your passing attack operates. One catch, 11 yards. I realize it's going to take time to get him into the rhythm and get things going. It's not a panic situation. But Seattle is 0-2 for one reason, because their offense has no rhythm.
Yeah, I'm worried about this offense a little because you don't know Jimmy Graham off to a slow start. And who knows, this could take a year. It might never happen in Seattle, Jimmy Graham. Maybe his fit was in New Orleans where he was a superstar. And maybe he's kind of just another guy with some ability to make plays in the red zone here. And the other thing, Marshawn Lynch, who we know is an all-world running back. But this is now back-to-back games where he's getting swarmed in the backfield repeatedly. I think Marshawn Lynch will be fine too. But this has not been a good start to the season to this offense.
I think it's more about this specific game. When I think about the takeaways, this is now back-to-back games in which Dom Capers has had their number. That the Packers' defense, which is not one of the best defenses in the NFL, I mean, they intercepted Russell Wilson four times in the NFC title game, and then they shut down Marshawn Lynch in this game. So, to me, that's impressive. And does this give the Packers basically a three-game lead?
Yes, it does. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't tie them.
Yeah.
They are now, you got to get three games ahead, which is, you know, a lot, or you got to basically catch up three games. And I started thinking about all those teams back on the first day of free agency. Remember when they had three gigantic trades all within 5 minutes of each other? That's my hot take. It's not working out for anyone. The Seahawks, they trade away Max Unger. They're 0-2. The Saints trade away Jimmy Graham. They're 0-2. The Ravens and Lions trade for Nada. They're both 0-2.
Sam Bradford's
not working out. Don't make trades. Rams are the only one with a win.
Stop writing off-season articles about trades. Could have saved a lot of online ink.
Keep trading. Trades are fun.
No, I'm kidding. Trades are fun. I'm just saying, for whatever reason, all those teams are off to slow start.
DeMarco Murray signing not going well for either team either.
There's a lot of things not going well in the NFL. We skew negative.
But I will say one more point. I mean, the Seahawks are winning this game in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And they also had a chance to march down the field, and Russell Wilson got picked off on a screen pass intended for Marshawn Lynch as they were approaching midfield. So, yeah, okay, the Seahawks are 0-2, but they were competitive in this game in a tough spot at Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers healthy and killing everybody right now. So We all think the Seahawks will still be okay, right?
Well, they're going to be okay next week. They've got the Chicago Bears coming into town, and it's very possible that Jimmy Clausen's starting for the Bears.
It's similar to last year. They're going to have to catch up right now. They're two games behind the Cardinals. That was what they had to do, you know, midway through last year. They were three back of the Cardinals, and now they're going to have to be playing catch up again.
Who's foolish enough to write this team off? Do you want to hear from Doug Baldwin in about 3 months?
Here's my
prediction. No one is writing them off.
Well, yes. Right? No, there will be fools this week. That right up, my words,
some hot
people out there that say, without Cam Chancellor, and now they're not going to have home field advantage, blah, 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 they're done. They will not be done.
Well, I'll wait till they're 8-7 or something, because if we took too many things away from
8-7 is a little too late on the other side.
Well, maybe it is, but if they, after week one, it's way too early to start pronouncing people, everyone great and not great, and week two is just as much too early.
All right, guys, let's move on to the Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys, where Chip Kelly's offense was given fits by Dallas's defense, a 2010 Cowboys win at Lincoln Financial Field. But that is not the big news. The biggest news is Tony Romo, fractured collarbone, unknown timetable, but he's going to miss a serious amount of time. Brandon Whedon, Mark Sessler, is back in our lives. Wes, Cowboys are 2-0, but without their triplets, are they dead?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
What do you mean?
Come on, we said this before the season when none of us picked them to go to the playoffs, because if anything happens to either Romo or Dez, they're done. Now something's happened to both of them. I don't expect to see either of them on the field before what, mid-November?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah. The earliest.
Broken clavicle. There is some reports out there that Romo, you know, thinks maybe it would be 8 weeks or something like that. They're 2-0 right now. You know, not for nothing, they were going to win this game pretty handily without Dez Bryant, you know. They did it with Brandon Whedon going 7-for-7. I'm just saying, they are 2-0, and it's a lousy
Hold on,
division.
What?
Brandon Whedon, 7-for-7.
So they won it without Dez Bryant, but what about the part where they already had a huge lead when Brandon Whedon entered the game? He didn't have a chance to screw it up.
Greg, you aren't honestly hinging your argument around Brandon Whedon finishing the game 7-for-7.
Wait, you wrote the article last year when Brandon Whedon started, and I read it, and it said, the coaches went out of their way to make sure that Brandon Whedon wouldn't be a factor in this game, and he was anyway because he was that bad.
If you project Brandon Whedon's stats moving forward, he's going to have the best season any quarterback has ever had. Completes
well,
every pass.
One of my favorite moments, by the way, of the season so far was after Romo goes down, and it's obvious that he's hurt badly. Even Aaron Andrews reported that he mouthed, it's broken or something like that. So you know Brandon Whedon's coming to the game, and then they keep cutting to him on the sideline. He's just sitting on the bench. He's looking at notes. And Troy Aikman from Fox is even like, you know, I think that Brandon should probably get up and throw a few. And it was amazing, and it just spoke to the Brandon Whedon experience. But like Greg said, he's not going to throw an incompletion this year.
Hey, when you're Whedon, you don't need warm-ups. He warmed up on the field with a game-sealing touchdown. I mean, it's amazing we've gotten this far into the, you know, talking about this game, and the Eagles' offensive performance hasn't even come up. I think if you look at the rest of the NFC East right now, the Giants are in trouble. The Redskins are 1-1. Is it that crazy to imagine, all I'm saying, the way the Cowboys' defense is playing, that they could go 3-5 over the next 8 games and they're right in the mix if Romo got back?
Craig, here's the problem, though, because when you don't have Tony Romo, whether with or without Dez Bryant, Tony Romo moves that offense. Suddenly you're going to deal with a quarterback that's going to give you 2+ turnovers a game. I guarantee you he's going to do that.
Tony Romo is succeeding in a ball control passing attack, which is the worst possible fit for Brandon Whedon's skill set. Because he has no touch and he has no field vision, it's not going to work.
But it'll put a ton of pressure on their defense and on their ground game, which, frankly, I'm not that impressed with the ground game.
Let's talk about the genius, the great genius, Chip Kelly, and the offense that could not be stopped. And we spent all summer slobbering over ourselves about the potential with Sam Bradford. But now we look at results through 2 weeks. And yes, perhaps I'm having a little too much fun with this. I do like to see Chip Kelly fail. Don't know why. Don't know why I feel that way, where that's coming from. But the truth of the matter is 8 quarters, and 6 of them have been terrible, where they have not moved the ball well, not scoring. So 1 good half against the Falcons does not make up for the fact that they've been bad on offense.
Today was complete comprehensive ineptitude on every level of their offense. Sam Bradford looked like the Rams Sam Bradford. His confidence was shaken. He was looking at the rush. He wasn't seeing the entire field. The offensive line was as confused as I've seen an offensive line in the run game. Rob Marinelli was running stunts, and the Eagles had no idea what to do with it. DeMarco Murray can't run sideways. He was built as a north-south runner when they signed him, and all of a sudden they've got him running toward the sideline. It's not a good system. The receivers are dropping passes. It was a complete comprehensive failure on every level of their offense.
When they were wrecking the league 2 years ago, that line was playing, it was studs across the board, and they were a perfect fit for what he was doing. Sam Bradford, QBR of 5.3. Now, when other quarterbacks do that, we take him to the woodshed, and Bradford did not play well today. I'm not sure what the next
I think Sanchez should have been in the game today.
I do too, because it was Bradford salvageable at some at one point.
That bad, in Philly, a chance to, especially after Romo goes out of the game, you have a chance to turn things around, and they stuck with him. And, you know, just back to DeMarco Murray a second, you know, we talked about Wes. I know you pointed, everybody pointed out how slow he looked. I think, what was his, 13 carries for 1 yard today? He's on pace this season.
Two, I believe.
He's on pace this season for 88 yards total through two games. I mean, this is a guy that set a record last year in the NFL or tied a record for most 100-yard games. So, yes, maybe he's a step slower, but that wouldn't make up for everything. This is what we're seeing here is comprehensive failure from DeMarco Murray.
Jerry Jones did not want to sign him executive of the year.
Well, what about the I mean, I think the Eagles' offensive line has to be as big or bigger to blame for this. Ryan Matthews isn't running the ball. I mean, as a
team,
they
only got one carry. What's up with that?
As a team, they only ran for 7 yards. It's crazy. This is the same team we all put in our top five of our power poll as a group. We had them running away with the NFC East, largely, or at least partly, based on the preseason.
And then that's a mistake. You're right.
The defense looked better. Well, I'm not sure it's a mistake yet. I don't think just because they have two awful games means they're done for the season, especially in a division where the leader is now without Tony Romo and Dez Bryant.
If this two-game stretch happened in week 8 and 9, nobody would pay that much attention. It's because
people
would
pay attention to this. I don't know.
It's the first 2 weeks of the season, so we act like they can't come back and win a division where the Cowboys don't have their two most valuable players.
Is wide open still.
That's fair. It's too early to count them out because number one,
I have
a lot
much more confidence in the Eagles right now than the Cowboys because at least the Eagles have personnel. The Cowboys don't have the talent right now.
Two-game lead is significant, though. People act like a two-game lead.
In week two?
With 14 games left. Yes, that is
not
very
if Brandon Whedon's the other guy, the other quarterback.
Well, you're hoping to get Romo and Dez Bryant back at some point, obviously, or else
Thanksgiving.
When you are Chip Kelly and your team runs for 7 yards, I don't care when that happens in the season, what we think about Chip Kelly, that is noticeable.
I want to hear how much of it had to do with the Cowboys defense, though. I mean, don't they deserve some credit?
Absolutely. I did give them credit. I said Rob Marinelli's stunts had them confused all game, and the front seven played great.
Final question. Chip Kelly fired today, tomorrow. What's the better move?
He's running the show.
This isn't Rob Chudzinski. You don't send him home on Sunday night.
Someone had a great tweet that maybe only Chip Kelly could win because of Andy Reid's players. That was it. Now that I got rid of all the players, it's over.
That's a piping hot take.
All right, next up, let's move on now to Orchard Park, where the Buffalo Bills are amped all week. All their fans, very optimistic fan base in Buffalo. But guess what? They came down to earth. Tom Brady threw for 466 yards and 3 touchdowns. Tyrod Taylor threw 3 picks. And the Patriots continued their dominance over the Bills, a 40-32 win. Greg, I need to ask you a question. As someone that is a Patriot-ish fan.
You're a Patriot-ish fan now. Finally.
That's a silly thing to say. Okay. You are. Is Tom Brady better than ever at age 38?
His arm strength is just as good as ever. Mm. I don't think he's better than ever, but he's right there. I mean, he had a throw, and Rex Ryan pointed out after the game, the Bills were up 7-0. The place was just going crazy. They went right down the field to start the game. They stopped the Patriots on a 3-and-out. Then the Patriots had the ball back, and Brady just had a laser for 30 yards up the middle to Gronk, who was well covered. And it was one of the fastest throws I've ever seen anyone throw.
Wow. What a life Greg has once again. And you know what? Wait. Do you hear that?
Yes, I do. The minstrels and their flutes.
The minstrels. There's a little angel strumming. Here's some grapes, popping some grapes into Greg's mouth. And by the way, now they have one of the best all-purpose backs in the history of the NFL, right, Wes?
Well, they have triplets.
Who are the triplets?
Well, you've got Gronk, who's unstoppable.
Poor Edelman.
You've got Edelman, who's one of the most athletic players in the NFL.
Quadruplets.
And you've got Deion Lewis, who only three players in the NFL have more yards for scrimmage. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Matt Forte. And then Deion Lewis, you have to put him in the conversation now.
Wait, because did Deion Lewis just bump Tom Brady out of the triplets in New England?
Well.
It's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. Totally fair.
Deion Lewis is so good, he fumbles twice and can't even land in Belichick's doghouse because he's too valuable to take off the field.
Just wait till he oversleeps.
He makes the first guy miss on the run and as a wide receiver. He's incredible.
He really, I know we're getting carried away with 2 weeks, But just the skill set that he has shown in 2 weeks, you would think he was one of the best running backs in the NFL. He has been incredible.
Yeah, and we've talked about this, and I know that we like to act like we discovered this guy 10 days ago, but Joe Banner had his sights on this guy.
No, he did.
They were going to use him as a third down back, not an every down stud.
Yeah, at the time, they had Trent Richardson, so you have to put that into account. That's 2 years ago.
Mark, not the Browns fan forcing Joe Banner into the conversation.
Well, no, Joe Banner like sang about this guy endlessly, and everyone laughed at him.
Well, now he's in a spread offense with light boxes, and he's in the perfect offense.
And Tom Brady.
I don't think it would have happened with the Browns like this.
It would not have, but when you put him in the Patriots offense, a lot of players that we wouldn't think succeed suddenly.
Mark, don't give me those wild eyes. You're right.
No, because, I mean...
Got the wild eyes on Sessler.
It's not like this guy didn't emerge from the forest 5 hours ago.
Well, nobody wanted him last year. He was out of the league.
He was coming off an ACL tear.
Brady just passed for more yards than anyone's ever passed on the Buffalo Bills ever in one game.
Can we talk about the Bills' defense?
Please.
And specifically, let's talk about Rex Ryan, who has made a life's mission to beat Bill Belichick. He opted to stay in the same division as Bill Belichick, and this could not have gone worse. I mean, Tom Brady was through for 500 yards, for Christ's sake. This was Rex, what he had to say after the game in a very different setting when compared to the festive atmosphere after they beat the Colts.
You know, yeah, we got to get better as a team. There's no question, but I have to get better. You know, Belichick out-coached me, no question about it, and that's where the game that's how it ended up. The plan has to be better on defense. We can't give up 500 yards to beat anybody. And then we turn it over 3 times. But, you know, we did a horse job, and it's my responsibility.
I think this was Rex Ryan being humbled. I don't need to hear any more about how Rex Ryan comes up with good plans for Tom Brady either. He watched them spread him out. And just threw the ball their first 10 plays of the game. They ended up throwing it 59 times. Their running backs only had 10 carries. LeGarrette Blount only had 2. It was basically the Patriots saying, hey, your whole style of football, Rex Ryan, is outdated. You're not going to get your substitutions in to try to blitz us. We're just going to play so fast that you're going to be stuck with the guys that you have on the field. And you can run the ball pretty well. We don't really care about running anymore. That's old news in the NFL.
Well, Mark, right. You saw this all coming, too, because you thought that Rex is well overdue for another slice of humble pie, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it was. It's all off-season. I'm jumping out of airplanes. I'm doing shots at Buffalo bars.
George Bush, the former president's a punk?
Well, he can go too. Forget that guy. Listen, if I'm Rex Ryan, here's the thing. How about you stop talking when it comes to the Patriots? The Buffalo Bills talked all week long based off a week one win that meant nothing. And here's the thing. Rex Ryan gives you the same thing on defense and the same thing with his teams week after week. The Patriots do something different on offense every time. Rex Ryan's never figured it out, and he never will.
The fire is in the eyes.
He didn't learn his lesson on what Greg said, that he's playing 1980s football. He didn't learn his lesson on what you said about trash talking, because before the game, he said, Deion Lewis, I don't know his name. I don't need to know
exactly
his name. After the game, he says, I still don't know his name. Next time, run the ball.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Rex. Running the ball doesn't matter. Rex Ryan.
This will look good, Rex.
In this game, said afterwards, maybe I had my team too fired up, you know, and a couple of the players said maybe we were too emotional, this was too personal for us. And you did get the after they were up by 7, everything looked good early. You did get the sense after the Patriots had a couple of nice offensive drives, the Bills were just like, oh, what?
We're not the best team in the AFC?
What happened? And they totally didn't fight back for most of the game. Suddenly the Patriots were up 24 points. And they just were trying to drop a 60-burger on him. They're throwing for 50-yard touchdowns on 4th-and-1. They're going empty backfield up
24
points.
Patriots vindictive? No.
And then the Bills came back and had a pretty nice fourth quarter.
Before we move on, can you just give us a review of Tyrod Taylor's start, too?
Oh, it was huge red flags. He just held on to the ball forever. He took 8 sacks. I would put 5 of those on him. He made a couple decent plays with his leg and did have a decent comeback once they were really trailing. But I think his first read was taken away. They kept him in the pocket, and he looked like a confused guy out there. I mean, Chandler Jones had 3 sacks. Jamie Collins, 2.5.
Well, and Sammy Watkins, you're averaging 30 yards after 2 weeks.
How good are things going for Greg right now? Remember that magical 2007 season?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Through 2 weeks, Brady has more yards, more touchdowns, and fewer interceptions than that 2007 season.
This was the ultimate throne of ease game, I have to admit. I was thinking
Greg
that when I was
Greg has a smile on
that.
His face, the width of the country.
I did not expect this. I was like, wow, this is pleasantly amazing.
You're the worst.
Yeah, you're going to go 12-4
to go with the Patriots today.
You're the worst. I mean, I like you as a boss, but just there's too much happiness with you and your franchise, and I'm sick of it. Let's move on to another team that's 2-0. They are the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's thanks to Andy Dalton, who continued his hot start to the season, throwing for 3 touchdowns without an interception and a 24-19 home victory over the Chargers. The Bengals sit alone atop the AFC North at 2-0, and this was a interesting game in that Dalton, who we're going to have questions about Dalton as long as the months go by until we get to January and he does something. But this guy is playing very well, and he's got the weapons around him, and he is well set up for a Pro Bowl season right now. And, you know, how good is this offense? You have a game by Gio Bernard in which he rushes for 123 yards and 20 carries. He replaces Jeremy Hill, who fumbled twice. Basically, Hill went to the doghouse. I'm sure it was just kind of a second half type thing. I don't think this has a long-term effect, but it reminds you of how good Gio Bernard is. So you have the Bengals. They have a great running game. They got A.J. Green. Tyler Eifert had another touchdown. They took care of business against a good, not great, but good Chargers team. I like the Cincinnati team right now.
Credit where it's due. If you watch this show on NFL Now or on YouTube and you see the highlight package they put together for Andy Dalton, I mean, those weren't easy throws that he's putting out there. He had 3 or 4, like, high-quality, top-level quarterback throws.
We expected him to have a career year this year. The surrounding talent is there. Yeah. All that matters is what happens in January.
Where's your peace scale in West of us, West? 2-0. He has 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Probably a passer rating well north of 110 would be my guess.
Say peace scale's up to 8.5 because if I had to do an AFC power rankings, the Patriots would be the only team above the Bengals right now.
I think it's you get Tyler Eifert finally being what they thought he would be, and Marvin Jones is back. That's a much
and Geno
better situation.
Atkins is Geno Atkins again.
There you go.
On the other side of the ball, promising game, I think, we for spice rack purposes. Wes has some type of friend or confidant or mentor. I don't know what's going on.
He's like 10 years younger than me.
This dude named Spice Rack. He lives in an underground bunker in Vegas. Correct me whenever I'm wrong with any of this info.
He manages, or he doesn't manage. He's part of the Marquee Day Club nightclub in Vegas.
Okay. The way that...
gotcha.
That didn't go with the narrative. Sorry.
The way that Mike Shanahan staked his reputation to John Beck... That's what Spice Rack did with Melvin Gordon. He had a nice little game, his second game, 98 total yards on 17 touches, made some guys miss, made some nice plays. And one other note from this game, Keenan Allen, who had 15 catches, obviously, in week one, crashed down to earth. His first touch was a muffed fumble that led to a touchdown. He had 2 catches for 16 yards. So, big takeaway, Chargers, they're an okay team. But the Bengals, they look like a very good team. Get excited, Cincinnati.
Jake Kirkpatrick talking some trash on Keenan Allen after the game, saying how he shut him down. And Kirkpatrick is part of the reason this Bengals defense
Which,
off to a good
it
start.
Doesn't seem to matter who's coaching them or what the personnel is. Their cornerbacks always play really well.
One other note about Phil Rivers. He passed Dan Fouts as their franchise leader in touchdown passes. And he sniffed. He didn't get there an NFL record. He had 22 completions in a row carrying over from week one.
I'm almost surprised that didn't happen earlier with Fouts.
I'm just looking forward to the Chargers getting revenge on West of us.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a rematch Saturday afternoon. Sign it up, NBC. Chargers-Bengals.
Going back to 2014.
That's it.
I remember that.
It's actually going to be
Chargers will be the wild card. The Bengals,
I don't
know
what it'll be. It'll be Bengals-Jets, and it'll be just like 2009 when the Bengals gag away a winnable game.
Ooh, Shawnee Green ran all over him.
He did. All right, moving forward. Hey, Mark Sessler. Johnny Football lives! The Browns quarterback connected on a pair of long touchdowns to breakout wide receiver. Yeah, I said it. Travis Benjamin in a 28-14 win over the Titans. Marcus Mariota was sacked 7 times in his first start since those Offensive Player of the Week honors. Wes, for Browns 1-1. Mark, I know you pretend you don't care, but I know you care a lot. Wes, what did you see from these two quarterbacks?
Well, Mariota, first of all, he got confused. The Browns' defensive front owned the line of scrimmage. They had constant pressure on Mariota. And I think last week he saw all these soft spots in the Buccaneers' zone. This week he had to go up against man-to-man bump and run. There was no separation. He held the ball too long. He got hit a lot. His ball security was really bad. So he showed some toughness in coming back with a couple of touchdown drives in the second half, but definitely a step back for Mariota.
What about Manziel?
Manziel had the 2 long touchdown passes to Travis Benjamin, and Benjamin also had a punt return touchdown. But in between those 2 plays, Manziel didn't do much. I believe he only had 60-something or 70-something yards on the rest of the game. And some of that was the coaching, too. Some of that was the play calling. But I would say Manziel did not – we heard from NFL media insider Ian Rappaport before the game that, McCown is entrenched as a starter, and I don't think that anything Manziel did upset them.
That would be absolutely crazy to me. Because, yeah, maybe he didn't play well other than those two long touchdowns.
Crazy to LeBron James, too.
Right, but he still did, though. He threw two long touchdown passes, and he got the he has the city excited about him. Why would you put in Josh McCown when you're a rebuilding team or a team building towards something when you have Manziel who's making positive strides?
Well, I think you could chalk up those two big plays to fluks, and if you do that, then he really didn't do anything again.
Well, you could say that for a lot of things. Well,
right, but they are – is that a repeatable thing? I don't know.
He hit Benjamin last week. Benjamin's the first player with four 50-yard touchdowns in the first 2 weeks of the season since Jim Brown in 1963.
Well, you were telling me Manziel freelanced a little bit on that last play, and I don't know if that's repeatable or not, but – he's done it a couple straight weeks.
Well, no, Pettine said in the press conference that at one point on the second touchdown that Manziel threw, that he broke out of whatever was going on.
He absolutely did.
And he launched the touchdown, and the offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, basically just said in the headset, he was like, well, coaching doesn't mean anything. Because it's like the thing breaks down.
Mark watching the Mike Pettine press conference.
No, I saw it in the email system.
Conscious uncoupling?
Oh, he's got a big smile on his face. I got to admit,
this is a great day for Mark.
The flip side of this game is, if you're Cleveland, is Terrence West runs for 140 yards and Mariota throws eight more touchdowns. But their defense actually showed up. You watched it. You can tell. Did the defense look good or not?
They look fantastic.
There's a glint in Mark's eyes today. Not only the Browns win, and don't let anybody fool you, that means a lot to him. He got Rex eating humble pie, which you love.
That might mean more.
Yeah, the Ravens going down in flames.
That might mean more.
Everything coming up Cecily on this Sunday.
I don't buy that. You're talking about that you're already trying to change the narrative. You were saying you weren't really getting off the Browns train. It was just you didn't like people coming up to you at the office and talking Browns.
When you make a decision that is emotional... well, hold on. When you make a decision that's very emotional, which this was, you start to unpack it as the days go on after. And what I am realizing that I enjoy, and it might be because we switch seats in our office... but I don't have anyone coming up to me every 2 minutes being like, ooh, the Browns suck.
So you,
it's like, well, that's I'm not just, because I, no, no. they don't know that you gave
this
up
This is
on
what's
the
problematic about that narrative is that Mark's saying he now quit the Browns because too many people are asking him about the Browns.
No, because in the office, it is an incredibly tedious thing to do.
Come on, tell the truth.
You're back
Your
on.
Your text
You're
when
this.
You broke up with him were about not making bold moves and not going to get Chris Carter. So.
I wanted Daron Carter. I wanted Kristen.
And you said you were out, and you said it was about 30 years of abuse, and now it's about Ali Bombardi downstairs coming up to you
and
saying,
Ali.
Hey, how about those Browns?
Well, listen, the office environment is tough when you're rooting for a perennial nightmare.
Well, none of you guys picked them, right?
No one did.
This was a game that they really needed. I mean, it sounds stupid, but it's the second week of the season. You don't want to go 0-2. You don't want to lose to a team like the Titans on the home. A lot of people assume that they would lose this game, and the defense, which is what this team has to be all about, played great.
All right, so while Marcus... Calm down, Greg.
About these crowds.
While Marcus Mariota came down to earth a little bit, Jameis Winston had a nice bounce-back week in his second start. The number one overall pick outplayed Drew Brees in the Superdome, and the Bucs bounced back with a 26-19 win over the winless Saints. Wes, this was... the Winston the Bucs hoped to see when they took him with that number one pick.
Didn't take much to outplay Drew Brees in this game. Hmm. And, you know, the Saints secondary was just what the doctor ordered for Jameis Winston. Because the Saints secondary is probably the worst in the NFL. They're terrible. Winston had a couple of good throws. The touchdown to Vincent Jackson right before halftime. Beautiful throw over two defenders. And then he threw off 1 foot 54 yards down the field to Lewis Murphy when Delvin Bro... lost the ball in the lights.
What up, bro?
The same Delvin Bro. Hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
Who had four penalties in his first game.
Delvin Bro and Damian Swan.
Not your...
big fat.
Not exactly Minifield and Dixon.
Sup, bro?
Hey, question, Wes, because Drew Brees, you know, we were talking in the offseason how maybe he wasn't quite as good as he was a couple years earlier, and now he doesn't have a great offense around him anymore in some ways. Or not as good as it's been in recent years. Is it fair to start the discussion whether Drew Brees is in irreversible steep decline?
Well, I thought it was fair until you said steep.
Okay.
Of course, it's fair to say he's in irreversible decline because he's an aging player. So
well, not in today's NFL. Tom Brady's playing like he's 24.
Tom Brady's a better player than Drew Brees and always has been. I'm sorry.
This is one of those teams, and I talked about it a little at the top of the show, that the season is getting late fast. They're going to Carolina next week. They're 0-2. This is a team kind of like the Eagles that most of us picked to win the division. This is a really rough loss, and they need to start winning games fast. I mean, it's pretty ugly to lose to the
Bucs. It's not all in Breeze. They don't trust their wide receivers there, you can tell. Willie Snead is getting the ball as much as anybody. And, Dan, have you ever heard of a gentleman named Jaquez Smith?
Yeah, actually. No, I've never heard of him. He's not in the NFL.
He had 3 sacks today on Drew Brees.
Oh. Wait, one question, though, because the Bucs coming off of last week, and obviously we realized and we overreacted to a number of narratives coming out of week one, but their defense looked like an absolute train wreck, about to give up 600 points this season. And then you shut down New Orleans. I understand it's not the offense of a couple years ago, but in New Orleans, who's now lost 6 straight at home, how did the Bucs defense do that?
The Bucs came to play. They should get credit for that, but I think the Saints it's the same malaise they had last year where they're just off kilter, and it seems like they're not even like, you know, we heard it attributed to Junior Gallette being a punk, basically, and a bad influence in the locker room. And that's why things didn't work out last year. They're not playing any differently.
That falls on Sean Payton in my book.
Well, and Rob Ryan. I mean, this feels like when I'm reading the game stories that it wasn't a game that the defense blew. I mean, they kept getting the ball back for the Saints offense. That if anything, it was the Saints offense which lost.
Well, everybody's at fault. Breeze had a really bad interception after he had his right shoulder hit, so he was actually trying to loosen up his shoulder. So he gets blamed for that. They get the ball back with 3 minutes left, and Ingram fumbles after he had played a pretty good game. So there's all kinds of blame to go around on this Saints team.
Let's talk about another team that is undefeated after 2 weeks. Carson Palmer threw for 4 touchdowns, 3 Chris Wesseling to the ageless Larry Fitzgerald, and the Cardinals cruise to a 48-23 win over the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. We have injury news out of this game. Jay Cutler strained his hamstring in a really, you know, Jay Cutler way. It was chasing down a defender after an interception that went for a touchdown. So he was replaced by Matt Clausen, who is pretty much inept in many, many
Jimmy
ways.
Jimmy Clausen.
What did I say?
Matt Clausen.
You can put him in his brother. It would have been the same thing. So, yes, the Bears, to me, and we, no one is a fan of Jay Cutler, especially the denizens of Chicago, but put Matt Clausen in there for multiple weeks, the Bears become...
Matt Clausen. Who is Matt Clausen?
You're thinking of Matt Slauson.
If you put Carl Clausen in there, they are going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Is that one of your uncles?
Yes. Dave Johnson, by the way.
David.
I call him Dave. Keep rolling. Right. Immediate difference maker. 108-yard kickoff return to start the game. What's so funny?
No, he's a 13-yard
touchdown run. His first 3 touches as a pro, all touchdowns, so that guy's saucy.
He broke a record. First player in history to score kickoff return, pass, and run in his first 2 games.
Matt, you put Matt Clausen and Dave Johnson on the field the same time. Things are going to get a little crazy.
Doug Clausen, Jimmy Johnson, you put him there. And finally, Carson Palmer, by the way.
Looks good, doesn't he?
Was he hurt? Was he ever hurt? I don't know. He looks like exactly the same guy. Carl Palmer is one of the best quarterbacks the Cardinals have ever had. This is certainly the best quarterback since Kurt Warner. So this team, team around the NFL, we flirted with them earlier. We got a little off them as the preseason wound up. And I think there should be some thought again about the Arizona Cardinals in this.
Well, number one on my list.
Well, we should have done it last year.
Bruce Arians is our spirit animal, and he went for it today.
Wes, you can't say that because we wanted him last year.
We wanted him last year.
I wanted him last year. This whole narrative that
phony.
I was the only one.
You're phony. Go to
I
the tapes.
I am not the only one.
Some listener needs to find
We need
tapes.
A listener.
If you are a listener out there that can find Wes shooting down the Cardinals and send it to us, TD will send you money.
I'm on board this year. To all those people who didn't think that Larry Fitzgerald could still play, eat it.
By the way, Jimmy Clausen, QBR of 3.2, so Sam Bradford was not the biggest stinker this week.
That's a good ERA.
All right, let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers, who are, back to the earth. That they are living in this world now.
That's good.
Terra firma is another way to call it.
I'm a big fan of it.
Who knows? Ben Roethlisberger threw for 369 yards and 3 touchdowns. Antonio Brown did Antonio Brown things, which means 9 catches for 195 and a score. A 43-18 win for the Steelers. Mark, the Steelers buried all those good vibes around the Niners, didn't they?
This game was over so quickly. They really had their way with the Niners defense, which I thought after what we saw last week, the one thing I thought that would stick with San Francisco was their attacking defense that went after people. They had nothing to give the Steelers. The Steelers also did something unusual. I think it's the first team that really reacted aggressively to the extra point rule, or they don't at all trust Josh Scobie, which makes sense.
He'll be cut tomorrow, probably.
Honestly, he might be. They went for two-point conversions on back-to-back touchdown drives, made both, got up 16-0 early.
I love it.
Scored another touchdown, finally wheeled out Scobie to kick the extra point.
Literally in a wheelchair.
He misses.
They roll him in.
Wheeled him out.
They wheeled him out.
The extra point rule, Dan, that you don't like. It's making it a little more exciting.
I hate it.
Crazy numbers on the board.
It makes me hate the NFL now because all these missed extra points. There are now more missed extra points this year through not even week two finished than all of last season. How exciting. But if it leads to more teams going for it on two, then I could be sold on it, but I haven't seen it for more than one team.
Well, I could see more teams doing it against the Niners. They put Teddy Bridgewater in hot water. I thought he played one of his worst games as a pro. We all thought that. Zero sacks, zero quarterback hits today against the Steelers.
Dirty Peter?
How about Ben Roethlisberger?
He's part of the reason.
In this game alone, he had completions of 56, 59, 48, 41, and 35.
Wow!
This is some old school stuff, and he only threw 27 passes. He is the best vertical passer in the NFL.
You know, it's the old Zeuser's MVP pick.
That's a good pick.
Saucy.
You might not be wrong.
We talked about the 49ers defense. The defense I want to know about is the Steelers. They need Ryan Shazier to be a stud. Give me an update on him.
Shazier looked great. And it's speed translated. I think they had 5 sacks today. And, I mean, the defense in Pittsburgh, I think it's going to be a week-to-week thing because they're not going to match up well with some teams. Their secondary is still an issue. But the 49ers are not a team that can go in and take care of a secondary. And Kaepernick wound up with 335 yards, but that was all garbage time. The team had 33 yards passing at the half. It had a lot to do with Pittsburgh putting pressure on them from start to finish.
Another making the leap candidate. We're on fire.
And that's what I was saying on our last show. All the Steelers need to be is like an average defense. They don't need to be great. They can't be terrible. But if they're okay, the offense will carry the day. One last thing before we move on, we get our good friend, the talented Colleen Wolf, in the studio, is Team of ATL or ATN. Mm-hmm. We were pumped up about the Niners.
The
Titans.
Well,
and now we need to take a step back from the Niners and see what happens next week.
I think it depends what we're looking for. If we're looking for a team that's going to, without question, go 12-4, then it's going to eliminate a ton of teams.
I don't want a stud playoff team.
I don't need a playoff team. I need them to be fun to watch.
Well, you wouldn't have had fun
watching. My number 1-6 qualifications. Mm.
Well, then the Niners in your book would not have checked
that was my hesitation when I blocked it last week.
All right, we will now. This is a very special honor. All right. Speaking of special honors, up next, coming into the studio, she is Colleen Wolf. And there she is.
Hey.
Wow.
What is up? Just materializing out of nowhere.
Welcome.
Wolf.
I have energy after a 14-year-old.
Woman.
I've been drinking lots of coffee.
We've been drinking, too.
Tons of coffee.
We've been drinking as well, not getting into it. You spent your day, you were over doing the couch show.
Yeah.
With what's it called? NFL Game Day Blitz?
Yes.
2000?
It is. .com. Blitz.
.com?
Yeah.
So I actually sat in for NFL Now. It's an NFL Now program where you are kind of just, you're moderating things, if you were.
Yeah. We're watching all sorts of games. We're going over social media aspects.
All day long.
There's
Sunday during
pizza.
The game.
There was
7 hours.
And there was beer that came in at one point.
Did they bring the pizza girl in this time? I noticed last week they had her on the
couch. Oh, he was the pizza girl, Rosie.
Oh, pizza woman, by the way, Mark.
Right.
Well, she was a girl. She was like 16, I think.
I did
she
deliver pizza in my life for multiple establishments.
And strawberries.
Pizza pie. So, Louise's.
Yeah, you did a great job.
So we haven't had Colleen in here in a while. We figure let's get her in on Sunday. She can help us out with some of these games. A friend of the show. One of the best friends of the show, I'd say. So you want to get going?
Let's do it.
It is. It is a sweet moment, sweet gesture by the old Zeuser. Let's go on. We'll start at the Meadowlands, where Julio Jones, my goodness, had 13 receptions. His final catch, a 37-yarder to set up the go-ahead touchdown with less than 2 minutes to play. And the Falcons moved to 2-0 with a 24-20 win over the Giants. Colleen, for the second straight week, the Giants found a way to choke, blow it, gag.
It's crazy. I mean, at least they're being creative at this point, finding new ways to lose. Eli, the thing is, the Giants' defense late in games is just, they're just letting the opposing offense just march right down the field without really any resistance at all. That's sort of what we saw. But also, Eli, he had two crucial errors on that final drive. He overthrew to Beckham, and then he really missed on a toss to Larry Donnell. Both guys were wide open.
They also got killed by a drop on the last play of the game.
Yeah.
But a pass, even that pass wasn't great, so Eli for the second straight week, it could have been better when the games counted the most.
How about this? Falcons team's actually, you know, fun to watch, and they're winning games late in games. They're managing situations well. It's like the anti-Mike Smith Falcons, essentially, which were not fun to watch.
Well, I mean, if anyone who likes football, if they logged on to our website and read the bold predictions, you knew that Julio Jones was going to go off.
That's Wait, true. You predicted that Julio Jones would have a good game?
Yeah, it's really out there.
How did you do it?
Outlier-type prediction.
You said 250 yards.
Well, a little bit off.
And he did. Well, my prediction that he would, him and Odell Beckham would kind of balance each other out was kind of correct, too. Beckham had about 130 yards at the half and a touchdown. I don't think he did much in the second half, did he?
No, I don't think he got the ball once.
146 total.
And, you know, I grew up with almost all Giants fans. There were not a lot of Jets fans in the town I grew up in, for whatever reason, and
they're smart.
It was very smart. Listen, I don't know how this happened to me.
Story of overcoming adversity.
It is. What do you know about anything, Greg? Other than your band Delaware failing in a big spot?
Wow,
how dare you? No, but I got the text I got from Giants fans again for the second straight week from my friends. They are on a deadly watch. But I'll say this about the Giants. As bad as things are, they should be 2-0. They're 0-2. So like we talked about the Cowboys and the Eagles, and this is a wide-open division, even at 0-2.
It is. And, I mean, we did see Eric Flowers go down, their first-round draft pick. And
you want to make Flowers?
Already in there for Will Beatty.
Dan's drops now.
I can't. Every time I hear that drop, it skeeves me out still. I can't even hear it. Anyway.
It's good reason.
So that offensive line, obviously not looking good with Flowers down. And Julio Jones, after the game, by the way, I don't know if you heard this quote from him, but he was asked about that one amazing catch that he had. Mm. And his response was, which one? Seriously, I feel like all of them are amazing when I catch the ball.
You know, that's not
the comment.
That should have come from Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have
surprised
me. Are
you sure that wasn't from ODB?
It was not.
Julio, that's not becoming.
You don't hear him.
It's great.
It's like something you would hear on Ballers.
It's much better than like hearing Russell Wilson talk for 5 minutes and say nothing.
This is what you do when you sign a huge contract and then you back it up with two monster games instead of getting hurt.
You don't like Ballers, do you?
I don't like Ballers. I do like Julio's comments, though. I prefer that to Wes's point than Russell.
Thank you.
Like, you know. Monday.
Russell Wilson, your favorite player.
Yes, I mean.
We weren't there. Like Julio could have been saying it with a wink. I imagine he was.
Colleen wouldn't mislead us like that.
Ralph Vacciano, is that how you say it? From the New York Times News?
Yeah. Ralph Vacciano.
I know, I was waiting for that.
Gotta say it the Italian way.
Yes, Tevin Coleman also hurt in this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
He left his ribs.
Does anyone sound more like an early 90s pop star than Tevin Coleman?
The failed pop star.
Tevin Campbell, baby.
All right, let's move on. Rookie Matt Jones ran for 123 yards and two touchdowns, and the Redskins played some solid defense in a 24-10 win over the Rams on Sunday in Landover. That's where they play. A little tip.
FedEx Field.
Mark, coming off the week one win over the Seahawks, this is just about the most Ramsey move the Rams could have done here. Typical stink it out, less need, cut your hair.
Well, credit to Dan, because Dan, you were saying all along that whatever happened in week one with the Rams, very typical home thing, go beat the Seahawks, get everyone overexcited, including our boss who employs us.
I'm still excited.
Well, you were excited. But Dan was the one who said they're going to go 8-8 or 7-9, no matter how you lay it out. And they could not handle it today because I think they came up against a Redskins team that I looked at before the season and thought, these guys could go 2-14 because there's chaos at the quarterback position. I don't trust Jay Gruden, and I don't trust the defense. But instead, What they built, I think, is a much tougher defensive line than what they had last year. They absolutely controlled the line of scrimmage. They shut down the Rams to about 200 total yards or so. And in the first half, St. Louis could do absolutely nothing. And Matt Jones and the Redskins running game, they look spicy.
Well, they want to
talking this up, Matt Jones.
You were?
They want to win like Rex Ryan. They want to run the ball, play good defense, and hide their quarterback a little bit. Today was perfect.
To play a little devil's advocate there, you know, eternally Jekyll and Hyde Dolphins team. They beat in week one. Now they beat the Rams, who are always up and down.
They lost to the Dolphins, played good on defense.
Right, right. But you don't make the Dolphins, you don't know if the Dolphins were playing well or not. You know, the Dolphins, you never can tell. I want to see them put it together against teams on a grander scale before I decide that Washington has a good D this year. But off to a way better start than a lot of people thought.
Yeah, I mean, they've given up 141 yards total on the ground in two games. I think the thing is also, we just talked about it, in the NFC East, the Eagles are extremely schizophrenic. The Cowboys have lost their quarterback and their best receiver.
Wait, you're saying the Redskins are in the mix for the NFC East title?
How are they not? A 9-7 team could win this division.
You got a Sessler about that?
No. I just say, scientifically, it seems possible.
Who do you trust more, this Redskins team that's shutting fools down or Brandon Whedon?
I trust Kirk Cousins a lot more than Whedon. Cousins
looks fine. Down. They're not, you know, let's see it do it with other
quarterbacks. Well, the Seahawks didn't do that.
I mean, especially if you look at the Rams, they beat the Seahawks in week one. And when you're looking at the matchup heading into this week, you think the Rams can definitely take this game. This is a big loss for them.
Oh, it's
4 incompletions for Kirk Cousins. I mean, that's a very positive, clean day from your boy.
He was very clean. And the other thing is, I thought watching the Rams during the week that the defensive line was going to absolutely have Cousins shattered by the end of this game. 2 sacks, they held him under control, and they did a nice quick passing arrangement where Cousins got the ball out quick to running backs. Jordan Reed looked good, too.
With this offensive line that everyone was convinced was going to be a train wreck, and RG3 was the problem, not the offensive line. Mm.
Moving on, Jason Myers kicked a 28-yard field goal with 1:08 to play. The difference maker in a Jaguars 33-30 win over those Miami Dolphins. Blake Bortles looked like the preseason Bortles, throwing for 273 yards and 2 touchdowns. Greg, reason for legitimate optimism in Jacksonville?
Well, any win is reason for optimism.
I was ready to call him the Jag-Who.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm serious.
You're being a jerk!
You're a fan the whole offseason. You look forward to these days. You're at home against a pretty, you know, decent Dolphins team. You got to enjoy this moment. I don't think it means that the Jaguars are necessarily going places, but I think for the second straight week, their defense has been greater than the sum of its parts. They fly around, a lot of energy. And Blake Bortles and the offense definitely took a big step forward compared to last week. They had one great half and one terrible half, which was better than just a really terrible game, which they had a week ago. They didn't do anything in the second half. But Bortles, when he got the ball back with about 2.5 minutes to go, he led them on a game-winning field goal drive, and away we go.
That's progress.
Finally, you go to Jacksonville, and there's something to do other than to get into that tub thing with the clear side
where it's gross.
Like everyone can see what you're wearing.
That's so
Bortles
gross.
Played, That's odd.
It's Bortles played better than his numbers last week.
A little bit. But he also misses throws by he missed 5 or 6 throws every game, and he did it this today too by about 10-15 yards.
The albino tiger played. Marquise Lee.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's a sighting.
Did he do anything?
No. He had one catch for 12 yards.
Allen Robinson had 156 yards and 2 touchdowns before halftime, which is outrageous. He didn't have anything in the second half. But for a half, this was a really fun quarterback battle between young rising quarterbacks, in theory, Tannehill and Bortles. And then in the second half, neither one could move the ball really after one drive.
Also, Julius Thomas is not in the lineup. I think that part of they had a huge plans for him, and they're not able to do what they want without him there. But this is the kind of offense, it's one of these teams, and I don't want to get back on this bandwagon because I've done this 5
don't
times
do it,
with
Mark.
The Jaguars.
Don't do it.
But they've got the pieces in place, and maybe they're the kind of team by December. It's not the record, but we're saying there's something going on. Well, I think Allen Robinson's a potential star.
Anything to say about your boy, by the way, Ryan Tannehill, Greg?
He was one of the more positive aspects for the Dolphins, but
Albert went down.
I'd be really worried that they lost.
Last year. I mean, they couldn't run the ball at all without him. He left in the second quarter.
The game changed when he left. Lamar Miller ends up with 14 yards. Tannehill got sacked when the replacement for Albert gave up a blindside sack, and it could have been really a game-ending touchdown.
Jason Fox.
It didn't work out that way. And I'd worry a little bit about how about this defensive line for Miami that was supposed to be so great. And Ndamukong Suh had no impact in the game. They had no sacks. The Jaguars had given up at least four sacks in a game for a really long streak.
That's disgraceful.
They had no sacks and barely got to
quarterback. That's disgraceful. And Ndamukong Suh is getting paid like $1 billion a snap, and he can't even get to the quarterback. Where's Cameron Wake? This is the same old Miami Dolphins. And I was on the couch show. Sorry. Scary Colleen.
This is
coming to Studio 66 like 11 Ken hours into a work shift. Stuff starts to get crazy. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
We were talking about disgrace. You're feeling upset.
The Dolphins, you could get excited if you want about the Dolphins, and if you are a Miami fan, I know Handsome Hank is in this building, but can you picture Joe Philbin hoisting a Lombardi trophy?
Not now.
No, of course not.
So, you know, get him out of there. Get somebody in there.
This was the type of game that the Dolphins have continued to lose. Whenever you have a little bit of a chance of momentum, you lose to a bad team.
And Mark, pools, as I've gotten older, are becoming increasingly phobic of them, and I don't know why.
Pools.
Yeah. And it's mostly because of the gross human element of it and the excretion.
Swim pools?
Yeah, swimming pools. And can you imagine a pool set up at a stadium where people are drinking a lot of beer and they don't want to miss any plays?
Listen, I don't know. I've not been there. I don't want to.
JD talks about that pool a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
I don't know. We'll just leave it. He really likes the pool.
Are you our NFL pool insider, Colleen Wolf?
I am. Now I am.
All right, moving on.
Not literally inside the pool.
No.
Derek Carr, come to life, buddy. The Raiders quarterback threw for 351 yards and 3 touchdowns, the last with less than a minute to play, leading the Raiders to a 37-33 comeback win over the Raiders. Mark, was the football, Wes?
Cognoscenti.
And perhaps some people in this very room too quick to doubt Carr's ceiling as a pro. I'm very excited, Colleen. I can't calm down.
I don't think anyone in here
would bring me down.
Nobody wrote Derek Carr off. It's not so much that. I just think that we're so quick to want to judge quarterbacks in general, and it's like he's still growing. I think there's some of the flaws that we saw in Derek Carr that Greg, you saw flaws, and they're still there. But as a
You're taking shots at me.
Well,
Let's just say it for what it is.
You don't like Derek Carr. You don't like Derek Carr.
No, I thought he didn't show much last year to be excited about.
I think it helps now that you have Amari Cooper, who did a lot, because Amari Cooper automatically is taking away your top people in the secondary and guys like Michael Crabtree at his first 100-yard game in 2 years. Because
I remember that guy.
Yeah. I mean, he looked fine. And honestly, the Raiders, to me, with Derek Carr, when he's playing like this, against a bad defense like Baltimore looked today, they're not that bad. They were watchable. It was the most exciting game I watched today.
Just call Baltimore a team with a bad defense?
They're coming off a great performance in week 1.
Their defense today, I want to find out what I want to watch it again. I want to see what happened because it was an absolutely rough situation. So they couldn't get to Derek Carr. They couldn't cover anyone. He threw the ball and marched the team down the field inside 2 minutes for the win. That's not what we think of the Ravens.
Well, it's a valid point that we're too quick to write off young quarterbacks. I think it's also a valid point. We're too quick to give them tons of credit after one decent game.
That's fair. Well, then it's somewhere in the middle, but he's actually played well today.
But you know, when you're talking about, you know, Cooper and Crabtree having a good game and Latavius Murphy at running back, I mean, I'm thinking between these two teams, who has the better weapons? And it's not even close. Derek Carr has much better weapons than Flacco, which is a big problem if you're Joe Flacco and the 0-2 Ravens.
Does Joe Flacco get an excuse when he missed a wide-open Steve Smith on
the
throw?
No, I'm not talking about excuse. I'm just talking about it's a problem for this team, and now that they're 0-2, games on the road. But
how about Crockett Gilmore, guys?
He looked fantastic, and you know what? He looked great in the preseason, and I honestly think, outside of Steve Smith, he's their best weapon right now. I mean, they don't have something. They don't have anyone else to throw to, and he made plays. He looked great today.
Colleen's a huge Crockett fan.
His name is so
good.
He
made plays.
All Crockett, all the time.
You couldn't come up with a worse defense against tight ends right now. Look what Tyler Eifert did in the first game. Mm-hmm. This secondary is right up there with the Saints as the worst in the league.
Well, and that's why also, I mean, Flacco and Mark Trestman can walk away disappointed, but he threw for 384 yards. And the problem is that teams are going to do this to the Raiders all season long.
It's a big win for the Raiders, though. Coming off what was an embarrassing loss in week 1 in your building when you go down 33-0 to start. Bounce back with a win. Get some hope back in the building. Good. And by the way, the yelling, that's I recently enrolled in the Trent Dilfer School of Broadcasting.
Yeah, well, listen, you're flying through that course.
You're a precocious student.
So glad we're sitting next to each other.
Yes, the program is very thorough, and it involves a lot of yelling.
Indoctrinated.
All right, moving on. A crazy thing happened to the Vikings on Sunday. They gave the ball to Adrian Peterson, and good things happened. The running back totaled 192 total yards and 31 touches. 26-16 win over the Detroit Lions. Colleen, AP should be touching that ball 30 times every game, right?
He should. I mean, we saw last week he had 13 touches and he got 31 rushing yards. This was such a different script this week. And, well, there were a couple bad things as well with Adrian Peterson. He had two fumbles and he missed some blocks.
I could think of another bad thing with Adrian Peterson.
Well, we're not going to go there. Just today on the field.
Okay.
But... you know, he, in the second quarter, I think he had just, what was it, 3 carries, 1 yard. But, I mean, you have to give him the ball because it takes pressure off Teddy Bridgewater, and he had a much better game today. 14 for 18, 153 yards, and a touchdown. A much different quarterback than we saw in the first game where he just looked very skittish and unsure of himself.
What's with Teddy Bridgewater, I'm looking at the numbers, not outside of Peterson at 58 yards. No receiver had more than 38 yards receiving. What?
It's like Mike Zimmer's dream, a game that you don't need to do that.
Do they
run
the ball? They ran the ball 40-something times.
The defense just dominates so much.
Where's your boy Charles Johnson, Mark?
He's not showing up in this box score, so I'm going to have to wait a week on that enthusiasm.
The Lions team of ATL,
yeah,
they're on life support. They're 0-2. Listen to their next three games. Versus Broncos, at Seattle, versus Cardinals.
Mm. Wow.
By the way,
they
also
lucky
play
to be 1-4.
Right.
They play in a dome, so they need to be super exciting.
You're right.
For us
and
to get
have,
out of that situation.
They have inherent failure DNA. Why do you want to get behind a team that you know is going to blow games consistently throughout the season?
You're out, Lions! You're
the
out.
Lions running backs had 12 carries and 18 rushing yards. And if you remember, the Vikings defense allowed 230 rushing yards the week before.
And that is week one to week two, weird stuff happens.
Yeah.
Well, they're right? ruining. Although one thing here that's consistent is the Lions' offense. Of all the games that I rewatched, like one of the most surprising things was how truly bad the Lions' offense was. The score and the fact that the game was close against the Chargers, you know, made you think, yeah, they were okay. It was a normal Lions game. They did not look right, and now it looks like that happened two straight weeks.
What do we get from Calvin Johnson coming off
he
a bad game
involved.
In week one?
He had 10 catches and a touchdown in this one.
That's
I mean,
good.
Week before, only 2 catches. So he was more involved, at least.
Matthew Stafford's your leading rusher. You got problems.
He was hit 8 times. Like, he had a tough day in the pocket.
All right. Before we let me just backtrack one game. This I saw this on Twitter. I think it was an ESPN stat. The Raiders, Jaguars, Browns, Buccaneers, and Redskins all won today. That is the first time that has ever happened in NFL history.
Really?
No wonder Mark's in a good mood.
No, I saw that tweet, and I was like, wait, is this a joke from ESPN Stats and Info? And it's not. And it's, I mean, it is maybe 6 of the worst teams in football, and they haven't for a long time. So.
Bizarro. Well, and the Jaguars haven't been around that long. So that helps.
It is a weird
20 years. It's a weird stat. I don't know, like, if you put combinations of any 5 teams, that you might come up with some weird consecutive streak, but it did feel like a day. We've been talking about this, that a lot of the week one narratives are flipped, and there are very few teams that don't have something to feel good about going into week 3. The Lions are one of them, though.
That sounds like a really horrific assignment to foist upon our stats and info department. Find us a
combination
of 5 teams, as many combinations as you can find.
The stat of infamy.
All right.
I like this kind of party.
And
All right. Thanks, Mike Singletary.
And finally, Cam Newton passed for 195 yards.
Oh, boy.
Ran for 77 more, and the Carolina defense held at the end of the game a 24-17 win over the winless Houston Texans, who do not look like a Hard Knocks team that's going to be hoisting the Lombardi. It's never happened. Colleen, Newton doesn't have great weapons, but the Panthers are off to a 2-0 start.
I mean, it really is all right now on Cam's shoulders. Did you see the flip into the end zone?
Yeah.
Over Raheem Moore? It's demoralizing.
Jerome Simpson,
right?
But with, you know, lasting talent.
Yeah.
Exciting.
By the way, if you're watching us on YouTube, you could check that play out.
Also, Cam Newton said about that flip. After the game, he said, "My heart was in my socks as I was flipping. I was like, hey, I don't know how this is going to end." So that's comforting. When
what a bloody mess.
He's basically carrying
the
team. Yeah, but The Panthers, they average 5.2 yards per carry as well, but Cam was also their lead rusher with 76 yards.
Two very ugly moments in this game. One, A.J. Klein, big interception in the second half, and some of the crowd for the Panthers cheered Luke. Luke Kuechly has a concussion.
Oh, no.
Bad profiling, bros, in the crowd.
Well, both quarterbacks finished the game in the Gabbert.
Total profile.
Zone.
Other one, Ryan Mallett doing the Superman celebration.
Let's talk about that.
When they're down 7 points in the 4 minutes left in the
Why
game.
Why is he doing that?
He's a ne'er-do-well.
To come at Cam?
Well, he scored a touchdown. He did the Superman pose. But at the time, it's like he was playing terribly.
He played a terrible game.
I wrote during the Hard Knocks recaps, I wrote how part of the season was trying to figure out if J.J. Watt's teammates actually liked him or not, or if they were just, reverent to him because he was such a great player. And I concluded that I don't think he really has many friends, and he's not really well-liked as a personality, but he's so great that people come to him and talk to him about football, so he has status. There's no way anybody likes Ryan Mallett on the Texans.
Stop. Look, one,
that guy is a jerk. Look at him. Look at that. Look at him rip the jersey
Mallett,
open.
One preening schmo is enough in this game.
I disagree. Mallett was the guy who wouldn't leave the old, beach ball four-square game they had in the locker room. I think, some of the guys at the bottom of the roster like him. But
That's a hard knocks.
I don't think Mallett is Machiavellian enough. He's just sort of a numbskull, and it's hard to dislike a numbskull, is it?
There's no way Ryan Mallett will ever win 5 games in the NFL as a starter. I'll put a sandwich
that's
on
a
yeah,
hot
both
take.
These Bill O'Brien, give me a break. Both these quarterbacks stink.
It's a tough spot because you switch quarterbacks in week 2, and then Ryan Mallett has 4.2 yards per attempt. I mean, if Brian Hoyer had had this game, everyone would be calling for him to, be benched. And now Mallett has it. It's like, oh, what are you doing?
I would honestly, the Broncos did this against the Cowboys back in like 1991 in a game or 92. They rotated quarterbacks every series. I would just do it all week long, every
well,
game.
Well, I think you're getting to the point where it's going to be every game.
Ryan,
why not?
Every Ryan other Mallett. Game. Through 58 passes. How do you expect to ever win?
You look at the first half, they had 3 points and 93 yards.
Wow. That's awful. The Panthers have successfully played the ugliest game in back-to-back weeks, but they are 2-0 with wins. I mean, this is kind of like Ron Rivera's dream. Play ugly football, only play teams in the AFC South. It's perfect.
All right.
It's unwatchable.
That's it. That's Sunday's schedule of the NFL. Hey, TD, how you doing,
yes,
buddy?
Sir, how you going?
How was today's show?
I thought it was a good show. It was so good of a show, I'm going to hit you one of these. Gotta do it.
TD just did the Superman thing.
Gotta do it.
Ensuring heel status deepens. We will be back.
The third tech guy. Could care less about TD's antics.
we will be back.
That is
on...
not a tech guy, by the way, just so you know.
Not a tech guy.
No. He's working very hard.
He's Mark, would you be disrespectful?
I am respectful. I don't know the exact position. He's in a technical position. He's doing an excellent job.
Will Power, technical director.
Technical director.
That's tech.
He's the TD.
Will.
How am I off? Sorry.
The technical director.
Okay.
Let's get out of here. Okay. Let's salvage it.
We have to leave.
We will be back on Tuesday. Hey, Colleen, thank you for dropping by.
This was wonderful.
I think we should do this regularly.
Why not?
It's so nice. Thing?
To... Yes.
All right.
So,
all right.
Colleen, come back next week.
Cool.
And we'll be back on Tuesday with a Monday night recap, all that good stuff. Until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for the... Too soon on the drop there.
Do that,
man.
Again. There we go.
Yeah. Listen.
All right, you got to tee it up. That was on me. That was
we'll
on
be,
me.
It was. We'll be back on Tuesday. Until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the wolf woman, Greg, who's the boss, and TD behind the glass. Till Tuesday.